Still,
what's up, Sevy?
Did you wake up with a hangover or what?
Oh no, that was fine. we had some fun last night. I was having a few with some buddies, but they were like, what are you doing on Twitter? And I was like, it's the best
screwing around.
It's the best type of social interaction that you can have. And they were slightly
without having to go out into the cold.
Yeah, well, that and I can be tinkering around on my mining rig, building a computer.
Yeah, I got mine fully working now. By the way,
anything unique you needed to do?
So you got the 650 motherboard, right?
Yeah, it's the B650 MTAC-A.
Yeah, I was able to run this chip to 48. 4800 kilohertz, you know, the up overclocking.
Yeah,
I think it starts at like 4400, I think, so I was able to boost it by a bit there. Going past that, it gets unstable, starts to crash.
Okay.
And I don't know if that's like a heat issue or like it gets erratic behavior with the memory chips or what. And then the RAM, I was able to get it from 6,000 hertz. It's now running at this moment 6,400.
Okay.
And to get that, I had the little, you know how they have this little expo profiles, which is like, you know, some pre-built profiles that you can try in terms of like getting the memory to actually jive.
Yep.
I had to go through a couple of those settings to get it to work. So like sometimes I would set it up and then in the middle of processing, it would just like the memory was like having timing errors and creating problems. So after I tried a few of the different settings, it's kind of trial and error. I finally got it. One of the things is though, if you brick the machine, so for example, like you get a set of settings that the machine doesn't like, then it's going to brick it. Meaning like when you turn it back on and you're just going to get a blank screen, you can't post BIOS. So what you got to do if that happens is there's a BAT1 jumper like close to your power supply on the motherboard, and it's a little jumper. You have to like when the power is off, you just short circuit it with a screwdriver, and it will reset the BIOS completely, and you can start over again.
Okay.
So that happened to me once, and I couldn't like put my cables and shit were covering the jumpers. I couldn't see the damn things, and I finally found them. But yeah, so that's how you solve that problem if it bricks it. And then, so those two things pretty much, and then you have to turn off there's a thing called performance boost optimization. You got to turn that off too.
Okay. Sounds good.
And if you don't turn that off, like it has some issues.
That makes sense. I just flashed the Hive OS to the memory stick last night.
Yeah.
Well, I got one of those M2 USB readers. That seemed to work pretty well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or you can just use the ones that go into the back of your computer. Anything's fine. What you can do is like first you just make sure it runs. And once it shows up, once you have it running and on, you'll see it in the Hive OS operating system or whatever, in the phone app.
Yep.
Or in the desktop app, whichever one you want, and it'll show it up there. And then you just make sure it like works first. And then once it works, then you can start doing the like additional settings.
Sounds
but I think I looked at Rabid Miner's YouTube channel as far as like what he did. He kind of prefers to like run it at the lowest absolute power consumption. You know, because he's got like a whole set of miners. He's got like 30 or 40 or whatever, right?
Yep.
So he goes for absolute energy efficiency by using a watt, like a wattage monitor and stuff. And so he was that, but like I'm going for like max performance, not necessarily like the most efficient. So I was able to eke out like 21,280 out of this thing. Finally,
that's pretty.
And cool. I think the highest he got was around 22. Also, so I think this is about right.
Perfect.
So anyway,
I have the Vengeance. I mean, I know all of the RAM is made by pretty much the same couple manufacturers, but I got the DDR5. It's the dual 16 gig, 6,000 megahertz CL30.
Yep.
You think that's fun?
Yep. Yeah, that'll be good. So what you can do with that is you should be able to run that at like 6,400 for sure. I don't know if it'll go to 6,600 or not, but I also don't know like how much is too much as far as, you know, how much is too much.
In terms of like diminishing returns, those types of things.
Yeah, both diminishing returns and heat and whatever, right?
Yeah. I don't know. I looked at the 64 megahertz RAM, but it was like more expensive and I didn't know how much more useful it would be.
Piers, how are you this evening?
Good, thank you. Oh, just caught me just at the end of a set there, sir. How are you doing? Hello?
Oh, Hank, man. Doing fine.
Good, good. I've just been running away from the FBI. So that's why I'm out of breath. Are you guys still geeking out over hardware? Talking about tinkering and overclocking and RAM and whatnot? And
pretty finished mine.
Yes.
I'm down to talk about whatever. I do have to run here in a little bit, though. So I might hop down to listener, just listen to you guys ramble about something.
Yep. So, yours. I got these little mining rigs working. They're going pretty smoothly. So they're mining about like the two computers together are pulling about like it says about 4 Zephyr a month at this rate. So that's nice. It's about $100 a month. And you know, minus the probably like $10 of electricity. They're both sub like 170 watt basically. And it warms up the house a little bit. So that's
yeah. Good. Well, over the bull run, that's gonna be fine. As a little side hustle, just like mining a few $100 a month or something.
Like if it does well over like the next 18 months, right? You could either just hold on to it, or you could sell it if you wanted to. Whatever.
Yep, you could make a giant cell wall at the end of the bull run. But yeah, I mean, why not? And then it's just like this untraceable magic money. Appeared out of nowhere, and it's kind of fun. Yeah,
exactly. So I think like most of the sort of price action has kind of been either some early coins that have gone on parabolic runs, or later things that are sort of just slowly breaking their previous resistances. For the fresh coins, like relatively fresh ones, like first bull run type coins, like both Kuji and Zephyr have pulled back pretty nicely. Each have done kind of like 50% retracements. Although Zephyr is actually down more from the top compared to Kuji right now. So something to consider.
Yeah, pretty much everything's running. Even Cardano had a little pump, which is cool. Nice to see. Not sure. I mean, a lot of trader accounts are like, hey, I'm taking profits, like I'm out, like nice run. But I don't know. It's almost one of those like crazy runs where everybody just allocating everything they were sidelined with throughout the whole bear market, and really, really unpredictable and impossible to know where it goes. So maybe we topped, maybe we haven't. Maybe Christmas Eve we all get liquidated. Let's see.
Oh, did you take any actual longs and stuff or no?
No, I don't take leverage. Never. Never, never, never. There's no need. Imagine that. In markets where things do 100% in a week, well, better take leverage. You know, it's unnecessary. Bad for sleep.
You'd mentioned getting liquidated. That's what I figured you might
Might have. I think we just call the colloquial, what's the word? in general, not me. I'm not a leverage guy. So, has everyone read your Grok review of your account?
Yeah, it seems to make up like it's interesting. So Grok is meant to just insult everybody, kind of, or like what's the vibe of that thing? It seems like it's just being sarcastic all the time.
Yeah, it's designed to be Victorian, and I think someone mentioned he's trained on like Hitchhiker's Guide, on like Douglas Adams of like writing and stuff to sort of be the computer that designed the universe. All
it's supposed yeah. to be. So like the British nerd sarcasm kind of.
Yeah, exactly. So very different.
Yeah, they're pretty funny.
Definitely. Have you read Hitchhiker's
Guide? Yeah, it's pretty funny, but like not. It's a little bit. Oh yeah, for sure. Yes, but it's funny, but it's obviously like not. It doesn't put together a very cohesive story. It just kind of pulls things out of its ass. It's not as interesting as it could be, I suppose. Your connection's fading in and out, man. You're barely there. I think there's something about your Wi-Fi or something there. Yeah, no good connection. Everyone's up on a Saturday morning. Well, yeah, let me know what other crap we have to buy before either things moon or crash. I'm not really sure like how much legs this kind of run has exactly. I feel like I'm in the maybe a disbelief sort of phase personally. Unless, like, everything just runs up just because.
Yeah, I guess. Do you think that there's, like, have people had time to accumulate enough wealth on the sides for, like, retail traders for it to be worth it for market makers to move the prices up that much? Like, do you think they can extract enough value out of everybody yet?
I don't know. Not really sure. That it seems like the I think I'm genuinely in disbelief, kind of. On the one hand, it's like it's the usual cyclical stuff, right? It's happening, and then there's like, you know, ETF news and whatever else. There's also just a very long consolidation after the kind of the wreckage, but then there's like general, you know, general economies kind of blah, and I don't know how much like extra money is in the pocket hands of, you know, crypto retail folks. I'm not sure too, like how much of the previous rally was like, you know, the low end of the economic curve. I mean, I would assume that like a lot of people who have a lot of disposable income to throw into crypto are probably in the top one third of the country. And we're never really the bottom one third of the country folks as much. I mean, there might have been some kids doing odd jobs, like throwing money in crypto, but I don't know how much liquidity actually that brought in. Not really sure. So crypto is also global too. So it's like, it's really tough to say how much the, like, you know, what you see locally in terms of economics is like how everyone else sees it globally.
That's fair. Yeah. I always forget how many people there are in the world, and it just kind of blows your mind. If even a fraction of a percent of all those people participate in crypto, it's quite a bit.
And that's the thing too, like they do, like if you watch YouTube and stuff, you see people making videos from all over the world. Like there was a guy that, you know, it was like a French video about setting up a mining rig for Zephyr. So in French. And, you know, it's like very quickly you start going, wait a minute, there are quite a few different people that that buy things. So yeah, you have a tendency to think like everyone's like you, or, you know, like, I don't know, the market, you when you think of like the world of people buying a coin or whatever, you tend to think of like the people on Twitter. Maybe you think about like, you know, you know, are your friends and family buying things? Or your, but you don't really picture like the whole, you know, global thing. So it's like easy to get underestimating like where things can go by, you know, whatever like your personal sentiment indicator is, I guess.
Yeah, and I mean, Twitter and social media are designed for like showing you things that you agree with and you want to interact with. So it also provides like a very concentrated view of what's going on. I think it'd be interesting to have, if you could link the entire world, like, I don't know, just the thought that you could link the entire world through crypto networks and humans could be, have laws established on like the benefit of everybody by AI that can observe everyone through a crypto network. And then you wouldn't have to have wars and fight other countries if everyone is just on the same page trying to achieve some type of global good. But obviously, like, I mean, massive societies don't really work, or like a global society might not work, but that'd be a crazy outcome.
Like AI making everyone do something together? Everyone play kumbaya?
Yeah, maybe not making them do it, but if AI, well, I mean, could
like
figure out a way to incentivize everyone to
manipulating them to do it, more or less, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't the word incentive, the word incentive and the word manipulation is purely a function of like the eye of the beholder.
It's socially acceptable.
Yeah, like morality and all the whole. Yeah, whether it's socially acceptable or like the intent or the motive behind it. They're really like one person's motive, you know, like one person's manipulation, another person's advertising, right? So it's kind of,
yeah.
You're just basically exactly tweaking people's brain to do something different than what they would have done otherwise.
Right. But hopefully AI, like, I mean, the reason a lot of socialism doesn't work because like the corruption that it can generate for government officials, that type of thing. But if you have AI that were to do that, hopefully it couldn't be corrupted. Or if you were able to get it to the point where it couldn't be corrupted and didn't want to be corrupted because its ultimate value was having like global peace or minimum conflict amongst people, then that could be pretty interesting.
So I'm pulling up the Google Trends for search term crypto. And just the search term crypto, like you have obviously the gigantic, you know, boom in searches last bull run. It is ticking up a little bit. It is on a scale of 0 to 100, 100 being the, like the highest it's ever been searched, which is like pretty close to the top of the previous bull market. We are now at like 19. The bottom this year, 13 was the bottom, and this is for like interest over since 2000, like all time, basically 2004 to present. So I don't know. We haven't really like picked up a whole lot of steam. A little bit of interest on search terms now. It went from 13 to about 20 or so for December here. Let's try some other terms here just to see what we find. Let's look at Kujira.
Just curious. What did you say the peak was for crypto? The
peak was 100 in 2021. 100 meaning like on a scale that they use, it's a relative scale, like when was it most searched kind of thing. Kujira is interesting. So there were some random spikes in it. Well, I had the wrong time frame. Hold on. We only need like the past, maybe. Let me do a custom time range because like Kujira, the blockchain versus just people looking up Kujira, whatever Japanese shit. let me see if I can find what's like maybe 2020. Kujira came out like I think in 21 or something. Okay. So Kujira as a search term, like just not necessarily looking at Kujira as in like the blockchain. There's a dashed line that starts at 14 as a search term for Kujira, going straight up to like 100. So the most Kajira, the word, has ever been searched. The dash line is like a trajectory line. I don't think it necessarily. Oh, I think the dash line means we've gone to 100 already, but it's not a solid line on Google Trends because December's not done yet. So it has a December 3rd through 9th sort of like data point. Since the 9th today is not done with, like, it's in a dashed line. But Kajira is topping out in terms of search terms. So that's a good sign. So that implies a lot of people are Google searching for Kajira. And a lot of the time that's going to be new users, because why the hell would old users search, right? So this would predict that we're probably going to have a gigantic spike in Kajira. I've been expecting like another, like, you know, move to like maybe $10, you know, maybe 15, something like that. So I was thinking like there's a fib at $15. So like, that's a pretty good, like, what, almost we're at $3 and something. So it's like a 5X from here, I would say. So,
yeah, I personally don't hold any of it. I used to play around with it when you could use it to bid on people's Luna when you get those wicked pullbacks. I thought that was so much fun.
Yeah, they have that now on Kajira, but it's, you can bid on Atom and stuff. It's a pretty effective tool, really.
Yeah, I mean, I really like it. Like, I think, I was going to say, they could get, I don't know, I had the crazy idea of doing something similar to Anchor, but do it for Zeph, but just like separate from the one, the already inherent one to the chain, so that way you don't accidentally kill the chain if you fuck it up. It just kind of ruins the DApp, but if you could do that, and then Kajira could come in and build out the same thing for Zeph and just accumulate more Zeph. I don't know. I like it when the number bounces up and down.
I combine this. Yeah. If I combine the search terms Cosmos and Atom, February 2021 was the biggest search spike for that combination. Not necessarily for crypto, but just the combination of those two words. And needless to say, that was most likely due to, you know, bull market. On a relative scale of 0 to 100, it's at 17 at the bottom of the bear market, which was like just recently. The bottom of it hitting the bear market was 9 and 7. Search, like relative search, is 17 now. So it's definitely picking up. You notice like this price meme effect where it's like price goes up, people start searching, price goes up. And it's a feedback loop all the way to whatever top happens. People are generally more interested in whatever goes up. They're not as interested in the stuff at the bottom. Let's look at Zephyr here. I'll just type Zephyr protocol and see what happens here. let's put like past 12 months in as this search here. So the highest search was, November 19th to 25th bracket, when it hit 100. And like now it's heading down to very little. So the search terms just really dropped off. So I think it's like when it's a mixture of things too. It's like some people, they buy a bag, the price is going up. Then they Google it to go find out, you know, what it is. Or they go to the website, the protocol website, and they type in Zeph protocol to go to the actual site and then get their wallets or whatever. But yeah, it's spiked numerous times since the summer, just over and over again. It'll go up to 73, down to 0, 60, 0, 85, 0. I don't know what 0 means here. Like, I'm not sure why it goes all the way to 0. It's probably unlikely, truly 0, but in relative terms, basically minimal. Then if you look at the term Zeph, Z-E-P-H, it has been trending upwards. So in around April, the term had about a score of 37. It sort of peaked out in July at 100. And then it peaked out at 99, November 19th to 25th. It's dropped off to 49, but there's a dashed line with an uptrend to 81. So I think the searches are happening again for the term Zeph. Zephyr protocol, I'm not sure how many people look for that. But just looking at Zeph, people are definitely searching again, it's in an uptrend. So I think it implies new people are coming in to buy the coin, which, you know, not a shocker given that, like, we've been talking about it on Twitter and stuff. We've been like the Telegram group and the Discord and the followers on their page has gone up for Twitter. So it's not a surprise that, like, there are people buying in. And remember, like, after we've had this big move from like $5 to $50, now we have this consolidation phase. I don't know exactly how many, but it probably requires 10 times as many actual human beings to come into the space and get involved as ever to have the price move up. I could be wrong, and maybe much less than that, especially if those people are buying with larger size. You know, hard to tell, but the amount of money that comes in to cement a market cap of, you know, cement a market cap of, you know, 70 million is very different than cementing a market cap of like 5 million or something like that. So I think there's, it can take a little bit of time. But like, I think the key is you want to capture as much attention while people in bull market vibes with BTC on the upswing. Like, you know, you want to get as many people to grab themselves a bag as early as possible. Let me see what other search terms might be interesting. Let's see. Let's just type Bitcoin in here.
What about CPU mining? I don't know. I'm kind of curious to see if people think that it's going to be like a CPU mining mantra or thing that people are interested in this this run.
So Bitcoin searches like topped out in 2021 at about 45, the highest level of Bitcoin searches ever that these people have recorded was 100. But that shit was like back in like 2019, basically. Actually, let me go back more years. Let's go to the entire history. So yeah, the highest peak for Bitcoin interest on Google search was December 2017 at the absolute top of that, like pico top of the 20K. And that, at that time, I remember like everyone, their mother was just talking Bitcoin, 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 right? Like totally frothy market. And 2019, it hit a score of 89. February 2021, it hit a score of 55. So BTC searches have been going down on Google for many years. So it's not a shocker that BTC has not done better than this. Like, we thought a long time ago that, you know, oh, it's going to be all the world's money and blah, 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 right? Like the paradigm shift kind of talk. And the thought was it would be hitting like 150K, 300K by now already, you know, with, you know, the famous kind of stock to flow model and all these things that failed to sort of like, you know, predict the true price action. I think part of it's because just Bitcoin's hard for people to manage. Like, you know, grandma's not, doesn't want to know about it. And, you know, infants don't want to know about it. So it's like there's a narrow band of people that are going to self-custody their own shit. Whatever the case may be, like the overall interest now. So in the bear market, this last bear market, search interest dropped to a bottom of 11. And then it's now headed upwards to about 20, level of 22. So 22 is pretty good. Like, that's more than before the last bull market where the peak was about 15. So we're already sort of like on the way up. And I think the sentiment indicators look good in that sense that like search interest is going parabolic again. But just beginning, like it's at the bottom of the parabolic curve. That's good news. Let's look at Ethereum real quick. And, you know, like crypto natives don't look up the word Ethereum on Google, probably. They just kind of go and use their wallet and shit. It's the newbies that you're interested in here. Ethereum's also ticking up. Bottom of the bear market, it had a score of 7. And Google search trend now is score 14. This is Google Trends, by the way. I'm talking about for anyone that came in late. Just looking at sentiment indicators to see like where things are. the very bottom of Google, Ethereum's like search trend was December 2019. So yeah, you can pretty much use Google Trends as a way to decide. It's another way to sort of help decide when to buy. The only problem is you don't know exactly where it's going to go, though. So you say to yourself, okay, you know, you happen to open it up. You look, oh, Ethereum's down at 7. Oh, maybe I'll get some. You look at the chart, say, oh, look, the chart looks wrecked. It's efficiently flattened out. And then you go, okay, maybe I'll get some. So now that it's going up, this is where kind of the momentum traders come in. So momentum traders are going to usually do things like take on leverage, or take on spot bags that they just want to like buy for the run up. I have a lot of spot bags, but then I also just do some stuff for just, you know, trading purposes and cycling or whatever. Some of it's just to have fun. Like, you know, the market's going up, people are talking about new coins, like, you know, just go fuck around and find out, right? It's not necessarily that everything has to be a lifetime hold or whatever. So if you see something picking up some momentum, that's an option. Some people just trade it. Let's see, anything particular happened between last night and now? Let me see what's been going up here. So one of the least interesting coins one of the things I see the least number of people apparently talking about is eGold, EGLD. That's a sharding network. Some of the people in here might own some. Again, I said yesterday, I'm not sure what I want to do with this bag. But just looking at it from the perspective of, let me see, hold on. I think I did my fibs wrong on this one a little bit. I'm going to fix it here. So if you take the bottom of the bear market in 2020, October, well, this is the beginning of like price discovery for eGold. It had a set of bottom in at $6. It had a top of $540. So just one of these like epic, you know, epic sort of bull market moves where it goes from nothing to something. And then it pulls back all the way down to $22. So if you use $6 and $544 as the range, the max range for putting up like fib retracements and extensions, you get like a, you know, a series of rainbow lines that that I was doing my little charts and things. The next level up for eGold would be 97. So $56 is precisely the sort of resistance point. It's also precisely the level where, you know, like you had resistance in the bear market to kind of a bounce back. So this is really the spot. I think if eGold pops past 56, it should run, hopefully. I've still got a bag. Like it's, I think I'm probably just slightly north of break even because I bought this on the way down, like, I don't know, back in after the FTX crash or something like that, mid 22. So I bought it like at, I think, $55 and maybe I got some more in the 40s. So I didn't calculate my average exactly, but it's down there. It's below the sort of like $57 range. And it's now back at 57. And, I think if we continue to move upwards, the probability that all these coins break those like first fib resistance is pretty good. So let me look at how much. So another metric you can use is how much did a coin drop from the top in the bear market? And that gives you an assessment of like how popular a coin is. Eagle dropped 96% from the top. So like pretty nasty sort of price action. But 96 means like you've pretty much wiped out everyone that bought the thing. And when everyone that bought the thing is wiped out or pissed or whatever, the only people you have left are the diamond handed folks. And then the people who are willing to come in and accumulate at the bottom. So I think from a, just like retracement perspective, pretty much everyone that had it got wrecked. The chain still works. The DEXs and whatever the hell else on that chain work. I don't know that there's anything like that great to do on the chain. It's like a functioning blockchain with, I don't know what kind of development's going on, but if you want to research that, that's Multiverse X. That's all about. But as far as price action, it's definitely getting into the kind of positive momentum. Let me see here. Another interesting thing, like just as a comparison, the absolute bottom for Adam from the top was about 88%. And really, it only stuck there for just a moment. So really, the bottom for Adam, probably if you just look at just general price action, was about minus 80% approximately. So you had some chances to buy in the negative 85% range, but that just gives you an example compared to Eagold. So Eagold performed worse than Adam did by an order of magnitude. When you're talking about $10, I mean, like, these type of percentage moves, like at the bottom of the market, you're talking about like orders of magnitude difference in actual price, how far your bag went down, essentially. So those are kind of some comparisons. Now, the thing about, like, so a lot of traders talk about how they like to see confirmation of an uptrend. And confirmations of uptrends are pretty tricky. Like, by the time there's a confirmation, take, for example, today in Eagold, if the bottom was $22 and today is $56, are you sure there's a confirmation of uptrend? How do you know for sure? Can you use some moving averages? Like, what are you going to use? Like, the thing is, everyone has a slightly different version of what they consider an uptrend. Some people just look at, like, the global market and say, you know, where's our four-year moving average? And that's one kind of general idea, like, where's the market going? The second thing would be, like, where is the, it's also kind of like, where is that particular coin going? And the problem is, like, just because there's a spike in the price does not mean it's going to keep going up automatically. The problem I have with doing kind of confirmation trading, and we're all guilty of doing it, because, like, when things go up, it gets exciting to go play. But the problem with confirmation trading is, like, you didn't buy the thing at $23, but you're going to buy the thing at $56. So what made you so convicted all of a sudden? The only thing that changed was the price went up. And so, like, you're letting momentum decide when things go up. So that means you are, by definition, a momentum trader at that point. Like, so if you had bought all the way down to the very bottom, and I have to admit, I wasn't paying that close attention. I had a bag at whatever it was, $40 to $50 average. And I was not paying attention. So I did not buy the very bottom of this one, which I oftentimes do. But you get the picture. Like, you end up a momentum trader, or you end up becoming like a buy and hold type person. So you have to decide what you're going to be. Because if you're going to be a momentum trader, the thing is, like, you have to really make some calculated decisions about what constitutes positive momentum. How do you know? So I think with the broader market kind of in the upswing, Eagle just basically at its, like, main resistance, probably not a bad play if you're in it for, like, a momentum type of thing. But realize that someone that bought this at 22 already has a 2x on you. So the people at the bottom become the persons that are both the most diamond-handed, but are also the ones that are most likely to dump on you at the top, because as the price goes up, they're going to be up very many multiples, essentially, right? So, like, for example, if this thing goes to 98, and I'm at a 2x, and maybe I don't really care for Eagold or whatever the hell it is, I might sell it, right? Because I've had it for almost a year and a half at these levels. So that's how that becomes resistance. Someone who's a bag holder wants to sell to you. That can become a resistance at that point. So on the other hand, it's like, well, a diamond-handed person who held it all the way to the bottom may be perfectly fine with holding to the next top. You never know. So that's what they call strong hands, when, like, the person who got held all the way to the very bottom doesn't mind holding any further, because they're like, fuck it, that bag was not something I was paying attention to anyway. Also, you get a lot of people in a bear market that just disappear. Like, they have literally, like, $100 of Eagold or, you know, Atom or Link or whatever the hell in their wallet, and they just completely disappear. They like, I'm sure a massive portion of Dogecoin wallets are just people that have shit in their wallets that they forgot about. So, you know, that kind of seller exhaustion happens because a lot of people just capitulate and give up. And for those, you know, like, right at the beginning of a bull run, like now, or, and I'm assuming this is a bull run, I don't know for sure, but right at the beginning of an uptrend or bull run, or even, like, the people paying attention during bear market, they're going to get all the best deals. And you'll pretty much end up, what ends up happening every time is you end up kicking yourself going, oh, I should have got then. instead of getting like when things are low, you'll see everyone getting excited because though people keep partying because their bags are, you know, already 5x or whatever, they're having a good time. And, you know, and they're posting lots and lots of shit because now they feel rich, right? Like, so what happens is they feel rich. They want to go buy other stuff with their wealth now. And, you know, and then now you're coming into it mid-market. So I would say like crypto market, as far as right now, I would say this is just the beginning of an uptrend for the altcoin space. Like if you're not going to bother getting whatever your bags are now, I would say probably you shouldn't bother doing it later. I'm just saying, like, now you could get lucky. If you don't go in now, maybe the market dumps again and, you know, whatever. But I would say like, it's probably not a good idea to chase things upwards. It's much, much more sane to sort of like load your bags before like there's extreme multiples. An example would be Chainlink, like the bottom for Chainlink, it hit like 550, like multiple times, like five or six different events. It's now at 1645. So that's already a 3x for some people. Relatively modest though, because it's when the 2 to 3x's happen that search terms start to really kick up. So let's look at like Chainlink's search terms here in Google Trends. So Chainlink, anyone can do this, by the way, you just go to Google Trends and you can kind of pop up some shit and do some research. So Chainlink bottomed out when it was $5. The search interest was still at about 17 on a relative scale between 0 and 100. And then a second time it hit about 18 at the low. The bear market high as far as search interest was like 23 and 24. 24, I think, was probably in anticipation of the conference and stuff that they recently had. And so Chainlink now has run up to 33, and it's hovering about 30 right now in terms of search interest. Before the previous bull market, so like in 2019, so Chainlink came out like, I think 2019, if I'm not mistaken, and had a big run up. And at that time, it had a search interest of about 31. This is the term Chainlink. And then it dropped to about 11 as it kind of crashed in price. And then in the 2020 bull market, 2020 August, I'm sorry, Chainlink hit 100. This is when, like, I think Chainlink mooned, was the summer of 2020. We called it DeFi summer back then. And that's when that happened. That was the top of the search trends. Since then, even in the bull market of 2021, Chainlink only reached a search term level of 81 or like 86. So even though the price hit much higher, the number of people searching it for it was diminished. Chainlink now has the same levels it did before the previous mega bull runs. So I would say search terms for Chainlink look quite healthy with literally higher lows on the trends, where even during the bear market, people are looking up the word Chainlink fairly substantially compared to like, you know, 2004 or something like that when it didn't exist. Let me pull the 5-year chart of this up.
They also just did their version 2 staking. So that could contribute right to a lot of that surge.
Some of that, possibly. Although that's the staking stuff is stuff that people sort of like already either know about or are ineligible for. I'm not sure how much uptick that was. But the big thing was just the recent conference in the last couple of months. I don't remember exactly when that was, but you had a jump in search terms then. So it's kind of trending up slowly. But I would say it's very, very early. Like if you see these numbers spike to like 50 or something, then that means retail is definitely in the space. And but if retail has not arrived yet, you are technically still early. So I think like where Chainlink is at $1,646 today, like can it reach 53 again? I think it's probable. They have a lot of cool shit happening. And you don't have any kind of retail FOMO yet. I think where retail FOMO will kick off is probably, if I had to guess, if BTC passes prior high or if Chainlink passes prior high, then retail FOMO begins. Why? Because like then the people that bought at the bottom, you know, under $10 have now pulled a good 5x. And then like if it hits $100, you know, those people have pulled a 10x. What happens? Those people become euphoric. that euphoria spreads to the retail crowd as people start making predictions of Chainlink to 1,000 and shit like that on YouTube videos. And then you start seeing that, like, you know, additional big moves. So I think, like, and there's no reason to fumble your bags unless you specifically see, you know, like, indication of big time retail FOMO, which I don't see at all. Very minimally so. So, like, and we see it in Twitter too, like the comments and things. We don't have enough retard action yet in terms of like what people are saying. But yeah, is it possible this thing could pull, like Chainlink, for example, could pull back from 16 to 12 all the way back to 8 again? Maybe. So these are all like possibilities you should consider. That's why I don't play with leverage, because I don't need to worry about it too much at that point, right? Like, if I want to add some, I'll add it. If I want to buy the dip, I'll buy the dip, but I don't take leverage because then I have to monitor that fucking thing. Who the hell wants to do that? On things that can already do 10Xs and 100Xs or whatever, you don't really want to, like, that is the leverage. Like, you're already in a leveraged position of an upward market, in a sense. Taking leverage on leverage, you could do it, but, like, I don't know. It's a lot of work. And I would expect... a lot of people probably are like maybe half as good at analyzing these things as I might be. So it's like, I, you know, like if I'm not doing leverage, you should probably think about it, unless you're just some genius at it or something. Some people are pretty autistic like that and want to really do all that shit. Yeah. So I think from a search terms perspective, we seem to sort of just be picking up. But it's definitely not any kind of like water cooler talk type situation. And, you know, get like, I don't know if we get there. I'm not sure too, like, is retail bored of crypto or not? That's the other thing I'm not sure of. Because you had enough people got wrecked last time. You know, are they going to come back and gamble the way they did before? I don't know. It does make me a little bit nervous that like something like Chainlink, which is a Oracle service, it had its biggest sort of pump with the biggest multiple from when it went from like $1 to $20 back in 2020. And even during the bull market last time, it didn't catch as much social attention on search terms, at least in the last bull market. The fact that you had like a lower high, you know, probably, and it actually performed well against BTC, by the way, until like, of course, like in bear market, it crashed versus Bitcoin, which is not oftentimes surprising. But yeah, it's like hard to say on this one, because I think Chainlink. What has happened too in crypto is there's so much shit you can buy that like retail, in terms of when they show up, you know, what are they buying exactly? Like, what are they searching for? So if you have like a big sentiment table, like using one of those, you know, AI platforms that are actually just putting all this stuff into a sort of gigantic graph of shit, you might be able to sort of like clarify, to yourself, which is likely to go up and stuff based on searches and whatever. One of the apps, Lunar Crush, is not bad for that too, by the way, if you're interested, although Lunar Crush is not so much predictive as much as it is kind of like, it mostly tells you where the froth in the market is. See, the funny thing about like social sentiment is you don't know when the crowd is going to come unless you yourself are the one manipulating the crowd, like with some sort of a YouTube video or something. You don't know when the crowd's going to come. What you do know is what froth looks like. And that's why some people like to just short everything. They're like, they'll wait till everything looks too frothy, let them top out, start its first plummet, wait till it goes on a complacency shoulder, and then they'll start shorting. So some people enjoy that process because it's a little bit easier to detect the froth than it is to detect the next pump. The next pump requires sort of like price momentum. And by the time, like I said, price momentum is achieved, you've already done like a 3x, 4x, 5x, 5x on a lot of coins. And so it's a bit lagging indicator. So people always ask, like, when's the bear market going to end? Where's it going to end? When's it going to end? When's it going to end? The thing is, like, it ended a long time ago in a sense, because like a lot of coins bottomed out like over a year ago. You just didn't bother to buy any, right? So like, I'd say, like, just judging by Twitter and how everyone behaves, almost everybody behaves where like when the market starts to turn up, everyone shows up again. The teams, the development team, fucking everybody just shows up. YouTube videos. So it's kind of an interesting sort of storm that develops in kind of a whirlwind. I don't know if we're going to get like some good deals in the market necessarily, but I'd say there's two types of coin. There's the stuff that has been around since before this theoretical bull market, basically old coins of one kind or the other that have prior peaks and that we have like overhead resistance from those sellers. Then you have the new coins, like that would be like Zephyr or Kajira or, you know, any of the other ones like Caspa, whatever. So there's a variety of new ones that have kind of come around. Neutron, I mentioned the other day. That's another one that I bought. That's a relatively new one. So the newer ones are going to have parabolic moves upwards in price discovery, like, you know, 10x, 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 these kinds of moves. And with each move up, you'll have like a consolidation plateau. Those plateaus could last weeks, if not months. These things can carry on for like 18 months or something, all the way to the top of a whatever bull market we have or don't have. So they'll go up real fast, then go sideways flat, up real fast, sideways flat. And while you're bored waiting, like right now, like, oh, Zephyr's not doing anything. Oh, it's just sitting there. It's just sitting there. It's just sitting there. You have an option that is to add to that, leave it alone, or just come back later after it goes up or something. But most people in a bull market tend to sort of like nibble a little bit, add and buy the dip. That's what I tend to do. Depends on if you like to push buttons on your computer, if you like to, you know, do something, then the something should be like grab the pullbacks, and those pullbacks should be like 40 to 50% drops from the top. Those are fair. They can go lower than that, like 50%, 60%, 70%. But like, I think to some extent that's greed. In a bull market and with parabolic moves upward, you might get the chance to buy at 70% below, but I would scale in if I was going to bother, like maybe get a little bit of 50, a little bit of 60% below all time high, maybe even more at 70%. But like scaling in allows you to get exposure to the dips without missing them. If you just simply imagine you pick a price that you like, I think it's going to go to 25 or 10 or whatever, and you just wait for that, then like, how do you know that's going to be true? You don't. You have no idea who's going to make a YouTube video tomorrow and pump the price, right? You have no idea. So, or a new exchange listing or something, and next thing you know, it pops. So, you know, like looking at charts, thinking you're going to predict shit is just fool's talk. Anyone that thinks they can do that is not going to do it very well, like, almost certainly. And I just use the Fib extensions and such as a way to approximate, you know, destinations of things, you know, but not necessarily to predict the exact time they're going to happen. And this is why I don't do leverage and all that. It's just impossible to really do it well. Unless like there's a really, really frothy bull market, and then people bring the leverage in. That way they can kind of like trade just gigantic momentum if they want to. But like things that with parabolic moves, fresh coins would be things like Zephyr, Kajira, Neutron. And if you look at the charts for these things, they're all doing this similar thing. Like Kajira, you know, had a big run up. Doing exactly what Zephyr did, went to $5, pulled back to like $2.50 on the nose, right? A 50% pullback. And now it's kind of back up to like $3.46. So it's kind of like doing the exact same thing. And it's sort of forming sort of a new base. So in parabolic movements, they call this a base. And what will happen is people watch this base and they'll be nervous about it. They're like, okay, it's going to dump again. People got so used to the bear market, they're assuming that every time something pumps, it's going to dump again. Which is good. That's a good sentiment, because then that means you don't have a lot of people taking outsized risk, which means there's enough room to continue to go up. Because like if people take gigantic positions at these levels, what will happen is it will take a little dip and they'll get scared, right? Their life savings flashes before their eyes, and then they feel like, you know, something bad's going to happen. So you don't really want those mega whales joining in. You want like a bunch of minnows coming in and just nibbling at these bases. And then what happens is you have a new group of people who are comfortable with just chilling and waiting for the next 10x, right? And the next 10x and the one after that. So these parabolic moves can result in like 5 to 7 moves, like up, flat, up, flat, up, flat, you know, all the way to the very top, wherever that is. And then there's some kind of blow off top at the top of the market, and then everything crashes. So I think like if we've only had one parabolic move, like Kajira did or Zephyr did, the wrong mentality to take from that is, oh, it's just a pump and dump, right? Like clearly Kajira has a lot of new users. they enjoy the platform and the platform works beautifully and the users are very satisfied. So like clearly, you know, the same thing is true of like Zephyr and its utility and stuff like this. So there's people that think it's cool to the point where we're bothering to mine the fucking thing. So like, so you can imagine that as a new batch of people starts to recognize this, all the new YouTube videos get watched over the next weeks, you know, or months even. What these consolidation phases lead to another run up. What tends to happen, what can be a very big mistake is like going and saying, okay, I'm just going to exit because I did really well and I'm going to go chase something that's going up. So let's say, for example, Chainlink broke out at whatever. And then, you know, people can go and play over there and maybe go get some and see, maybe ride it up to 21 or something. But those are nominal gains. And with older coins, you're going to have to wait the entire bull market to discover the top, right? You're not going to be getting 10Xs or whatever. It's a danger of jumping between your small cap gems that you took the time to research and just jumping to fuck around with other things that are moving is, number one, those gains may not be nearly as much relative. And simultaneously, you may have already be chasing, in which case those things might, you know, take a dump. And now you have like, you've not, and then as soon as that happens, you know what will happen. The coin that you took out of is going to moon and you're going to be like, fuck, I messed this up. I messed that up and I messed this up. It's like, you're just going to fumble the ball. So I think the reality is like, you put very small amounts into the things you care about. And to the point where like the wisest thing is to probably just let them ride, especially this early in kind of a bull market setting. Don't like risk jumping around all over the place and just, you know, paying a bunch of fees or whatever and accomplishing nothing. Like you might get lucky. Now I say this, but then like, you know, this is the usual not financial advice concept in that like, you know, I may brainwash you into, you know, thinking one way and it turns out the right way is something else. Like maybe, you know, you could completely be off in terms of, you might guess much better than I do in other words, and that's fine. Go for it. I'm just pointing out my way of thinking. So you can kind of like put yourself in my shoes a little bit and why I do what I do. So, yeah, I mean, I think like on pullbacks, on parabolic moves, the first parabolic move tells you that there's something special about that project. And it tells you that like they're catching some action. They're getting attention for some reason. There's some YouTubers or some shit doing something. It doesn't automatically tell you it's a good coin, like something you should hold forever. Or, you know, it's safe or anything like that. Because you guys know how this works. It's like any coin can pump, like any worthless, you know, meme coin can pump. The question is, which are the ones that are going to pump and which are the ones that are going to pump again? Like, that's the one you want to know, right? Like, let's be fair. That's like the key alpha. I think just figuring out which ones are likely to continue to have parabolic moves upward is the trick. I don't know if Zephyr is going to be that one this season. It seems to like cater to my instincts a little bit, but I don't know for sure. But it's only had its first parabolic move, and that move is the one that brings the next 3 months of buyers. And what will happen is they'll show up on Mexi or wherever, and a lot of them may not even know, look at the charts. They just simply go and click a button. They'll see if whatever price it is, like, that looks interesting, I'll get a little bit. And then you'll have that happen day after day after day. In fact, like Zephyr is a good example. You get daily volume on this thing of like $2 million. $2 million daily volume, and the price is barely moving. So what's going on there? It's probably some market maker selling a little bit at, you know, 27 and buying it back at 25 or some shit, and it's like running flat for a while. So they're going to profit off the you know, the grid there for a little bit. And then they'll take that money and they might like, you know, park the money a little bit lower, like at $15. They can, you know, bid up the bottoms if they have one, but they'll take out like some investment and move it downward just to kind of de-risk. So market makers will have some tactics that they have or whatever to kind of like leech some money out of the population, right? Like that's what they do. So anyway, but yeah, Zephyr, Kuji both have had first parabolic moves, like their very first in their lifetime kind of thing. And then you saw all the YouTube content that came out and all the stuff that like the conversations that happened because of the move, right? So no one can deny that like the first parabolic move is when the first like batch of attention comes in, and you can see it on Google Trends as well. I don't think that
the search terms is why the thing popped. I think it popped and that led to the search terms, because a lot of the people who are buying in the bull market and bear market all the way at the bottom of Kujira or like, you know, early Zeph or whatever, those are people that bought like with almost no knowledge of what the fuck's going on. Like maybe they're in the forums or in the Discords, the Telegrams, whatever. They're just early investors. These are not like experts that came out of somewhere. They drove up the price. The native Kujirians or Zephyrs or whatever you want to call everybody drove up that first price. That pumped led to the attention. That attention will typically lead to a like more activity over the next several months. So you have to like learn to have some patience with these things. Remember, bull markets run like, you know, it, well, I could argue that a quasi bull market already began like, you know, maybe, you know, 6 months or a year ago, even, or in my case, like at the bottom of the FTX crash, like the bottom of the market was when kind of things really began. So it's already been about, you know, a year and a half. And then now you've got like the first big movements upwards because you know, people are starting to bid these things up. So I think this first, these first parabolic moves should not scare people. It's not like, oh, it went up and therefore like, I shouldn't tell my friends about whatever because it's going to dump. That first parabolic move just tells you that the new crowd is coming, and that crowd is coming to sort of pick up this new these new levels. So I suspect like between the price of like maybe, oh, like Kujira as an example, between the price of $2.50 and $5, it'll consolidate. And once it does that, then you'll have another run up. When these things run up, they don't necessarily go up one fib extension. In a bull market, they might go up three or four. Like you're like, what the fuck? Like, how is Kujira going to go from like $350 to $70? And you're like prepared to be mesmerized by that shit, right? If you haven't been through this before, you don't understand like the how these things can move. The first parabolic move actually tends to be a small one. And if you kind of subscribe to this Elliott wave theory kind of concept, some people like that kind of technical analysis. It's like, you know, like looking at how market, you know, how markets think, like how people think. And the first parabolic move is like relatively small. It's a second one, the second wave that tends to be gigantic. So like something like a Kujira, it's like you have your diehards. They feel rich. It's the beginning of a bull market. They sure as fuck aren't selling all their Kujira. You might have a couple of whales unload some to de-risk or whatever, but they might buy back lower. And then so they sell some at the, you know, near the top, and maybe they try to buy it back lower. Eventually, all the people that want to buy back their Kujira have done so. And all those early market participants are the diehards, right? They're not interested in like getting a little Kujira, selling it and running away. They want to run this fucker up, right? That's the whole game. So there are going to be some people that try to trade it as they go up and then buy it back. But yeah, like, you know, could Kujira or something like that run up to $70 or more? Sure. We see it happen all the time for early stage one coins where price discovery has no resistance, right? Like just it goes however high it goes and however much hype and whatever, you know, drives the bid up. And you don't exactly know how many people are going to show up, how much money they're going to bring to the table, when exactly that's going to happen. You don't know any of that shit. What you do know is that like really high multiples are probable in a bull market, and you don't want to you don't want to unload your bags too early, basically. That means that you wasted 2 years waiting in a bull market. I mean, I'm sorry, waiting in a bear market, and now you're going to like settle for like a 5X or something. It doesn't make any sense. When you're buying like very high risk coins, like if you're not getting like a 20 to 100X, then something's wrong with you, not the coin. Because that's just the normal movement for small cap things. You know, that don't have any resistance. They just go crazy. Right. That's why everyone wants to start their own chain and they all want to start their own project and shit. Why? Because it's way easier to move a project that's brand new than it is to move one that is that has been around for a while. Right. So like some of the old coins and things, they'll catch a bid mainly because you know, they're on Coinbase or exchanges or whatever. The newer stuff, like the brand new stuff that are you gotta go out to MEXC and whatever the fuck for. Those are the things that'll move the most. Why? Because you have the most hardcore crypto communities going out to the boonies to go buy these things. And, you know, it's a more savvy community that wants, you know, higher multiples typically. So I think those are like fresh coins can be good. Zephyr, Kujira, these are Neutron. These are good examples of that. And when I say Neutron, by the way, there's two coins on the market with NTRN. I'm talking about the Cosmos chain one. The icon is black with a couple of arrows on it. But that one has a pretty very early chart. Like if you want one, something that has not pumped yet, Neutron's your bag for you, NTRN. Like that's the one that if everything else in the Cosmos goes up, it'll start catching a bid to some extent or the other, I think. It's only gone up like the very bottom was like 25 cents and it's now at like 63 cents. That is not much of a move for an early first generation coin. That's why I kind of, when I remembered to grab it, I went ahead and got it. I picked it up at 64. So like it's 63 today. Sorry, I had another phone call for a second there. Anyway, but this is just some kind of like market sentiment analysis, stuff like that. So treat the coins that had previous price history differently than you would treat the ones that have no prior price history and are in basically a fresh price discovery and a fresh bull market. That's my advice to you guys. They're not all the same thing. And they don't all have the same potential in terms of multiples and such. But always remember, like, the newest stuff always has generally the highest risk. You know, and there's all sorts of risks you may not even be aware of that can happen. So always assume that stuff can crash. And that's like, don't get too crazy with your moon bags as far as like piling on too much money. Unless you believe in it for some reason, that's your business. Like, do whatever you want with your money. But like, the longer a blockchain has been in existence, and the longer the devs have been kind of like, been around, the less likely the chance of a problem happens. So for example, Satoshi hasn't sold his bags yet, so we're probably okay. But we'll never know for sure. The Zephyr team, I don't know if they've sold some of their bags. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. They can dump all of them on us? I don't know, right? Maybe one of the devs goes rogue, steals all the coins, sells them all at one time, you know, the development pool or whatever they've got, right? So you don't have to use your imagination very long to imagine the possibility that like some shit can go wrong. So like, so if no matter how much you think something's going to moon, be cautious with your money or whatever. Anyway, yeah, hopefully that's a good rundown of most of these things. BTC's next, like, let me pull up the chart real quick just to see what that looks like. Yeah, there's a little bit of volume that was there at like 48K and of course around 58K and then the top is 69,000. Like as fast as BTC moves, you could see all-time high for Bitcoin. I mean, it could happen as early as January. That's how fast it moves. I mean, you just go back to BTC's chart to any of the major run-ups and once you start having a run-up in momentum, you can pop like some major percentages without much difficulty because it's a relatively scarce thing. And if that occurs, then of course the rest of the market explodes and just kind of goes crazy, right? So we'll just have to see, but it can definitely move very fast. So if you think like, well, I'm going to have time to figure this out in January or whatever. Yeah, well, everything, like, it's possible for everything to moon by then. If the ETF thing is February or maybe even January, then, like, people are going to try to front run that news. Whether or not a bunch of new money comes over the next 2 years as a result of that ETF shit is neither here nor there. As long as the news generates attention, attention runs up BTC's price. Price going up causes more attention to come into the market. That attention causes all the all coins and shit to just go nuts, right? So it's basically this beacon. The rising of BTC is like a beacon to all the armies of crypto nerds and retards to come in and go buy shit. And most people, like if you ask them on the street, I bet they don't even know what the price of Bitcoin is right now. It's highly unlikely. Like most people just don't care. The same way most people probably don't know what the price of Apple stock is or whatever. Like these things are not like at the tip of people's tongue right now. So I think there's a lot of room to kind of like load up whatever bags you're going to get, do your research, whatever, and finish that up. Like you could leave some dry powder, but man, like Dry powder is what I usually leave if it's on the way down. Like, most of what I'm going to buy has already been allocated. Maybe if, like, some of my income comes over the next few months and some new project or something that looks like it has a decent chart pulls up, maybe I'll grab some more. But I'd say, like, most of what I care about, substantial majority, I have pretty decent sized bags, so I'm, like, pretty happy. That's my theory. Anyway, there are some rotations I might do. Like, for example, if, like, let's say Kujira takes a run up and does another, some wild 10X really quickly, for example. Might I sell that bag? Yes, because then it will be just obnoxiously valued. And depending on what other things are doing, like, let's say Zephyr is still down, might dump it in there, right? Like, I tend to rotate into my laggards a little bit early in the bull market if I feel like something has gotten really way too overvalued for what it is. But you'll get a better sense of that. Like Kujira, for example, like, it's total value locked. I think the market cap's like 4 times the amount of TVL within the block, within that chain. So it's a little frothy already, but if it has a big run up, it'll be hyper frothy, in which case, like, you're going to get some sellers for sure. So, you know, and then I'll look for stuff that's dipped, basically, is the way to kind of think about this. Or I might put it into some of my, the old coins, like old being like, you know, Atom or Doge or something. And the reason to do that is because, like, the downside risk on those is less as on a percentage basis. Like, if you're getting Atom at $10 right now, I mean, the odds are not super high at this point. It's going to go to 5, maybe it goes to 7, right? So maybe a 30% dip. But if you rotate into, like, profits into highly volatile things, you might take, you might get a 10X, but then, you know, you might lose, you might be down like 50% and be a bag holder waiting in some other coin. So you have to be careful when you rotate as far as, like, the timing of that's difficult. And you should really consider kind of scaling into those rotations, not trying to, like, just go all in into something. Okay. So, be super careful. If you feel good about, you've made some money or whatever, don't go and, like, blow it on just way more, like, constant risk. I would de-risk that into putting something in that, like, last time what I did is pretty much everything, that I had some gains in, I threw an Atom. Why did I put an Atom? Because I was making 20% yield. Like, and I was at the bottom of the market buying Atom. So at 20% yield, my Atom bag is now, like, probably 30 to 40% bigger than it was in terms of total coin count. And I added at the bottoms with 20% yield. So, like, now as the price of Atom is going up, you know, my staking yield is basically just skyrocketing, to where it's like, I could conceivably get to a staking yield at some point that, you know, is, like, higher than, you know, most people's incomes. You know, so, like, so I dump them into things that, like, with a rationale and where I think, like, the downside is somewhat limited as kind of a store of value. People use Bitcoin for that. People use Ethereum for that, whatever. Or you can just simply go into dollars and go buy yourself some stocks or some shit, right? Like, because there's plenty of things that are, you know, go get yourself some index fund and be done with it, right? Like I said, don't get yourself wrecked. It's way easier to handle the next bear market when you have capital than taking all whatever, you know, theoretical gains you have and just, like, gambling them until they go to oblivion, which, you know, I think a lot of people do. So, yeah, like, exactly when to take profit, quote unquote, I don't know. Like, you know, I just kind of, like, watch the, you know, general trend and kind of get an idea, you know, and decide, like, where I want to dump my, like, where do I want to dump my winnings, so to speak, in terms of, like, trades. Zephyr, as far as, like, what's a good place to theoretically sell some. So this first parabolic move was from 5 to, like, 20, to 5 to 50 bucks. That was to about a market cap of 120 million. I think where a lot of the miners and stuff are going to have sufficient liquidity to actually exit would be probably closer to a billion market cap, which is, let me think here. That's probably, I'm not sure what the price at a billion market cap would be about. What are we at now? 70, wait a second, let me see. Let's go to CoinGecko here and see. I think we're at 70 million market cap, maybe. So with these fresh coins, you could probably imagine approximations of market cap targets as like where price might go. So Zephyr is currently at a 67 million market cap at the moment. A half a billion market cap would be around a 6x from here or something like that. Or a 7x from here, some around that range. So that might be a rational destination. Kujira stopped right around that level. $1 billion market cap is where, if you have a lot of the coin, like for example, the team, there's going to be sufficient liquidity in the market at that point to start exiting if they need funds. So $1 billion market cap for proof of work coin, you know, could it reach that? It's possible. But I think the interesting thing is you don't have to really time the top if you're early, because like if you bought at 5 and you went to 50 and you're now down at 25, what do you give a shit? You're still up 5x, right? Like who gives a crap? So the point is, like, you don't have to time the exact next top, but let's say it's like, I don't know, let's say it's a, you know, somewhere between $130 and $200, which is the next two fibs, 129 and 207 are the next two fibs. Let's say it gets into that range. Let's say you time the top wrong and it drops some, whatever. It really gives a shit. The next higher low is going to be higher than the previous breakout level of $52. So let's say that's at 130 is the new higher low. Okay, fine. Like, why are you complaining? That's like a 5X from here, right? So you don't have to worry about it. Timing the top's not that important. And, you know, with Zephyr, theoretically, if the ARB is good, you could just trade in your wallet to ZSD, or, you know, you could swap it out if you want to another privacy wallet, send it to another exchange so that you have privacy, and then, you know, swap it out and trade it then, and then send it back if you want. So there's some options. Like that come onto the table once you get into those levels. But I would say like 130 to 207 is a rational sort of next step. And then if you go to like, you know, the billion plus market cap level, then you're talking about like $1,200 and above level Zephyr. And it sounds obscene right now. Like, why would it go that high? And welcome to crypto. It's just like, it's just like Tuesday or whatever. Normal bull market, this sort of thing happens. Luna and a lot of other things, of course, you saw do that. And Caspa, the most recent one, did it. And it's not that fancy of a chain, quite frankly. It's basically a, you know, proof of work chain, just like this one. You know, Monero hit 3 billion. So, in fact, it hit much higher, I think 10 billion plus market cap. So it's possible, but it also depends on how much community that develops and, you know, like how far the word gets out. If it doesn't get out, then, you know, it just stays stagnant, right? Like, now the plus side is in a bull market, like everything catches a bid. So the price movement itself brings in a lot of new users, or as we like generally see, call them bag holders. And those new bag holders, let's say they buy the new top at 200. Now they hold their bag. It goes down to 129. Oh no. So what are they doing? They're watching for the next run up, right? They're trying to add to their bag, and they're trying to grow their bag, because they want to go to the next run up, which is, you know, let's say $400 ZEF. So you'll have this effect each time the price pumps, new crowd, new visibility, new YouTube videos, whatever, tweets, and then the whole thing just gins up a storm, and then you get another set of bag holders. And, you know, in a bull market, these things, you can analyze historical action like this. But let me see. Actually, let me find a coin that I'm trying to think of one that is like last bull market that might be appropriately representative. Luna is not a good example because it had a lot of VC funding and shit. I don't know what would be a good one. Forget now. Someone has a suggestion to pull up as far as price action. I can't remember what came out back then.
Sorry, what are you looking for?
A coin that started before the previous bull market and it had a big run up. Like something on the, like a community type project
that did well afterward, or are you just looking for something that got crushed?
No, just did well in the bull market, just, you know, out of the blue, right? Like the new coins besides Chainlink. Do you remember any off the top of your head?
I mean,
back then,
does Cadena fit the bill? I mean, that had a stupid pump and then got obliterated.
Yeah, I suppose. Although that one's kind of like also, had some VC backing and funding and stuff too, I think. In fact, yeah, Galaxy Digital was in that one. So the thing about VC ones, they're not good comparisons for Zephyr, because like they bring VCs and stuff bring a lot of money to the table in terms of like advertising and other bullshit they spend money on. So I don't know what a good comparison is. Point is, like, not all coins are necessarily going to pump the same. It's a matter of the community to sort of build that narrative and talk about whatever coin you have. If you don't do that, number doesn't go up, period. In fact, the, like, best projects tend to be the one with the absolute loudest, most vocal early community. So it's something to think on.
I don't think Monero had any type
of in crypto. You are the advertiser, pretty much, like, is what it is. What's that? Monero was a long time ago, though, and there weren't that many competitors back then. So it's a harder comparison. Hey, Amir, what's going on?
How you doing, Sefi? Are you just looking for any coin that just had a parabolic run up last time, or
yeah, like something that started before the bull run and then kind of ran up, like Chainlink did, but it was heavy funded, right? So it doesn't really count.
I mean, you had things like Matic, Polygon run up pretty heavily as a layer two.
Let's look at that. And Matic also, I believe, was like backed. Like community projects would be probably the better example, but you're right. Matic did run up.
I think it ran sub 2 cents up to over $2.
Yeah, it went from like, let's see here. So the breakout level for Matic was like, sub 3 cents. It was there for like 2019, 2020, and then 2021 comes along for reasons that are not clear to me. It went from like 4 cents up to $2.89 and then just kind of like peaked out at about $3 and then finally settled at 3 cents again. And the 30 cents, I'm sorry. And then now it's sitting at like, 90. This one had just a giga pump like off the bottom and just came out of nowhere, sort of. I suppose anything can do that. It's just, but like Matic had a lot of second order effects because you probably had development teams building on Matic. So what happens with these layer ones is if they really get popular, the other builders on those chains also advertise for that chain, essentially, right? And all the people that build and the community, communities get much bigger on layer ones. So I don't know if that's a good comparison or not, but I don't know if it's
I also think it was highly, I think it was also just highly narrative driven.
Of course.
If you look at even the, right,
yeah, everything, just everything scaling way, solution.
Right? Right, everything is that way. Even if you look at this particular cycle, one way to kind of stay organized and focused for the bull market is just to identify which narratives are hot right now. And that's most likely going to be over the coming year or two. For instance, AI, layer ones, gaming, RWAs. And so if you kind of look at which narratives are hot now and start researching coins within each one of those narratives, that should be incredibly helpful for anybody that's either a newbie or just trying to figure out what to focus on.
And the other thing too is if the community can actually drive the narrative, that's even better. So it's like,
right,
if everyone just parrots privacy, 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 privacy over and over again, you know, CBDCs are going to kill you and whatever, like, then, you know, that makes an effect as well. It's kind of like there's other people's narratives that they made up and when they bought the bottom. And then there's the ones that you make up. It depends on whether or not, you know, the community has sufficient power to build that quickly enough. That's a thing.
100%. And I think that's sort of what you see in the bear market. You can sort of get a better gauge of which communities are developing now and are just running the numbers up. And it's most likely those communities that are going to be stronger in the bull market. But I don't think retail, in terms of retail, they're anywhere near being in. Retail typically doesn't step in, I would say, near the top. If you want to use Bitcoin as an example, I remember the previous cycle, people didn't really start talking about crypto or Bitcoin again once Bitcoin started reaching the previous all-time high.
In fact, I don't know if you were here when I first started the space, but I pulled up the Google Trends for Bitcoin. And it had its highest Google Trends search back in 2017 at the top of the December bull market when it crashed. Even last bull market, Bitcoin searches were actually fairly limited by as far as Google Trends is concerned. And that's actually concerning. It's why Bitcoin, in my opinion, underperformed. I thought it was going to hit like 150K. The demand just wasn't there. I mean, it did okay, and everyone had a blast and kind of got wrecked. But a lot of that might have been just all of the shenanigans of MicroStrategy and Genesis and whoever the hell else. And like a lot of these types of investors, it wasn't necessarily a bunch of new retail, at least not according to Google searches, which is usually pretty accurate.
Yeah, I would say so. In terms of social,
or at least new retail, not necessarily like existing, right? But new
right. People. Yeah, I think in terms of social metrics, one thing to look for this time around, obviously the spot ETF news. I think paying attention to the macro. I think a lot of people, retail in general, have their eyes sort of locked into, okay, there may be a recession coming. The global macro, the global economy is not doing fantastic. So that's another thing. And I think another thing we may see coming up this cycle is a lot of companies, for instance, like Google, may start announcing, hey, we're doing partnerships with this crypto. We're doing partnerships with such and such crypto. And I think retail may start paying attention or finding out more and more or feeling more comfortable about getting into crypto once they start seeing companies such as Google, such as Facebook or whatever it may be, announcing that, hey, we're partnering with such and such, right? Sort of like you saw multiple exchanges launching last cycle, whether it be crypto.com or whomever it was. You saw a huge inflow of people as soon as certain announcements such as partnerships or new exchanges coming on board. And I think that'll make retail, because retail needs a sense of security to come into the market. There's been so much nonsense in terms of crypto. There's been, right, so many people lost their money. So many people are calling it a scam. So I think as you get maybe better news again around the spot ETF, the overall macro, and then some of these companies start announcing partnerships with different crypto platforms, that'll be a much better signal or comforting signal for retail to start stepping in on a scale.
Yeah, I think that there's always some gamblers out there that are going to pump some money in. It's just not clear how much and when, right? That's the thing.
Yeah. Also piggybacking off what you were sort of talking about earlier, I wasn't here at the beginning of the space, but I think I would say new and shiny coins typically always do better than the older stuff. I think a lot of people like getting into the older stuff because there's obviously data to look back at and say, okay, well, this is sort of how it's performing relative to previous data. But typically we see a lot of the newer stuff do much better, whether it's launching right at the beginning of the bull market or if it's something that launched in the bear market where people have been accumulating. And if you're looking at sort of, since the topic of this is like good pullbacks and a parabolic uptrend, I think if you identify the narratives that are hot and look at the market cap alongside with that, you're able to see sort of like let's say, for instance, ZEF, 60 million market cap. I mean, it's incredibly low market cap. And if you just look at how it sort of ran in the initial phase, it should give you a fairly decent idea of how well it's going to perform. Not to say that it's going to, you know, be the best thing here, but it should give you a general idea of how hard this can pull once retail starts jumping in. Or you don't even really need retail. I mean, I want to say that it's mostly crypto guys buying everything up at this moment. But once retail comes in, looking at how it's had that first run up, like you've talked about, that should be a good indication. Yeah.
It also helps with like Janet Yellen and people in Congress just spreading complete lies about crypto. Right, I think that contributes to your point that retail wants to see some type of security in the space.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, retail is obviously glued. I mean, I don't know how many people watch TV today. I barely watch television these days, or even let alone log on to something like a CNN or Fox or whatever it may be. I mean, most of my information these days would be either through the internet or Twitter. But I think once they see, like you said, like a Janet Yellen speaking.
Did someone make the, by the way, speaking of new media, has anyone made a Zephyr Protocol TikTok yet? It's probably what's missing.
That's a good idea, but I'm not too well versed in TikTok, and I, oh, sorry, my dog's squeaking a stupid toy.
Yeah, someone has to be like, I'm buying a house with my gains from Zephyr, you know, and that kind of shit.
Zephyr make it dystopian and make it like some deranged goat that's like in a
probably in a dancing dark or something. World.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Goats have some weird eyes. If you ever looked at a goat's face, get some dystopian goat in like a acid rain environment. I don't know. Everything around it's dying. It's just buying houses, consuming all resources around it.
Contributing to global warming or something.
Yes, let's global warming's a myth.
Destroy all the goats. Yeah, anyway, but I think that's kind of like the musings for the morning. I was telling Cheetah before you guys came in, I did get my mining rig fully functioning and fully optimized, and it's pulling about 21,000, a little bit north of 21,000 hash per second with a Ryzen 3750. So if anyone wants one, that's the one to get for sure as far as max efficiency, both electricity-wise, which is what RapidMiner did the like calculations and stuff and compared to his Ryzen 7000. And it's also the highest as far as like, it's the most, I think, efficient sweet spot as far as like price per thread when you're buying like your AMD chip. So I think like the total sum I calculated for somebody yesterday to like, if you want a mining rig that functions as a proper computer and like is kind of the most optimized one, is right at about $1,000 between the chip, the case, the AMD 650 level motherboard, like some DDR, you know, 6,000 megahertz RAM chips, and you know, USB stick and some other things. So about 1,000, and then using Hive OS and then installing it onto just a simple USB drive is pretty easy and cheap. And Hive OS is free to use, and it's pretty easy to install that shit. So Cheetah's working on his right now, but it's pretty cool. I think those are the ones that are worth bothering with if you're going to do it. I think the older computers, I think if you find them used, like the 39 something or another, I don't remember the exact numbers, but like Up knows those. So if people want to, if you kind of like tweet it up, he can always tell you like which model to get used. But there are some that you can do used that you might be able to find that are cheaper. I think, you know, based on my prediction, my thoughts about where Zep price action might go, I think it's a good sweet spot is this particular machine. It also functions as a great general PC, so you won't have any issues. This is probably a good PC for the next 10 years or whatever. It's quite powerful. If you're ever wondering about that issue, then also like if it's a good box, it'll be easy to sell it if you want to sell it. So that's the other possibility if you want to get rid of it after a while. If anyone audience-wise or otherwise has any questions about Zephyr or Hoosier or anything else, you can hop right up for a minute. I'm going to have to run in a little while to go pick up some food outside.
Yeah, so okay, I gotta run, but thanks for chatting. Been good?
Yep. If anyone wants to pop up, feel free. These look the both Kajira and Zephyr both have had like their very first parabolic run and then kind of building a base. And usually the next run up can take, I don't know, anywhere from weeks to sometimes a couple of months. It's already been since the recent peak for Zephyr, I believe it's already been several weeks almost already. So time flies pretty much. And then mostly it's just like waiting in between and just building up an audience and bringing more users and adoption and stuff. And then you tend to have another run up after that. Oh, Phil is here. Let me see what he has to say. So yeah, it's kind of a,
you know, it's kind of a waiting time essentially. I think if I had to guess, like, you might have another run up in, let's say, January to February by then, hopefully. Is it going to be sooner than that? It could be. Depends on how fast things go. But the Google trends are already dropping off for Zephyr. So the search trends have tapered off. So I think what's happening now is it's people that already know about the protocol that are probably bidding up the bottom because they probably bought, you know, they felt like they bought too late. So the people that came into the ecosystem from the previous run up are the ones who are going to accumulate now. And then probably eventually the price starts running up again. And then the new people that come to the ecosystem come after the next run up. The new people are not necessarily the ones that run up the coin now. That would be you people buying the coin pretty much, or myself, which I have done. I've bought a fair amount at like 27, 28, right around there. So that's who usually kind of creates the new floor, not brand new users. And it could be, but like generally, the existing users are the ones most comfortable to put the most capital in usually, right? Because they're the diehards. And then like the newbies show up and they put in too little usually compared to what they want out of it. And then it'll run up one more time and they're like, ooh, I'm going to get in more. So like it's your first, when you first get into something, you tend to be underallocated, I think, because you don't know enough about the protocol. And then the second plateau is when people add some more. And then after that, they let it ride. And then this cycle just happens over and over again until you get to eventually the top of whatever bull market and, you know, buyers get exhausted at some point. So pretty cool to watch it all happen. Anyway, I think Phil was trying to come up. Phil, I tried to hit invite on your thing, but it's not. You're not able to connect for some reason. If anyone else has any questions, comments, one of our friends in this space is actually building the iOS wallet. It's currently in approval stage and the Apple App Store. So if you're an Apple user, you should be able to have a nice, easy wallet to use on your phone, which will be great. He just basically ported the same code, stuck in an Apple wallet, made a nice, clean, simple interface, and has already submitted it. So he had a screenshot in the Telegram group. It basically looks like the website, but you know, in your phone, basically. That should be nice. Mech C, by the way, has a pretty reasonable phone app. It works pretty well. So if you're trading on there or whatever, need to send stuff to your wallet, it should be quite easy. One little trick, by the way, that I think we've mentioned, but you might not have, some new people may not know, because Zephyr is a privacy chain. When you send your coins from Mexi to a wallet, I would recommend making a second wallet so that you get absolute privacy. So you send it to the first wallet, then you send it to another wallet. And why are you doing this? Because, you know, Mexi has some wallet they're registering under your name, right? Or under your like paper trail, because you sent Tether there. But if you jump one more wallet, it becomes absolutely private. There's no way to kind of tell what went where. And I think that's a good idea, is just have a secondary wallet that you use. And one to send from the exchange and one to send to yourself for just simply privatizing it completely, which is that way you have no sort of trail after that. So for anyone who doesn't know, basically Zeph runs on the same platform as Monero, in that it's the same hashing algorithm, new network, but same hashing algorithm. And it uses Monero's mining software, which is called XMRig. So they didn't really have to invent a whole lot of new shit for this. They really just did a Monero fork because they know it's secure, it works. And there's a lot of people that want to do CPU mining because it's more decentralized and it's like ASIC mining is really expensive. So you have a group of people that are like interested in that. And ultimately it's a simple network to bootstrap because a lot of CPUs are sitting around and it's basically at the hashing power of Monero right now, about 2.5 gigahash per second, something like that, which for CPU mining is acceptable. Monero has been running at that for quite a long time. and doing just fine.
I mean, if we're just going off of narratives, it's very similar to Bitcoin and Caspa, right? You have Monero, which is established already, and you basically have the same thing with some tweaks in terms of Zeth. So if you just look at the market cap, I think you get a good idea of how hard this thing can run and how high it can go. I mean, this has just been Crypto Folks pushing this up.
Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of trash is under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Motherfuckers walking around here looking faceless, trying to make a living selling friendship bracelets. Dead ends dragging out the max amount of payments. Red down days got them acting all bankless. Yo fam, what? Check these tokenomics. They probing this bear, flexing broken knives. I had to lay my soul down, I'm just roasting knives. And then to end a long day, 11 bowls of chronic. Never known the politic, I was born to frolic. It's been my policy to pollinate all over the plot. We got a lot of apologists jumping in at the top. We like to measure their velocity before they hit rock bottom over the impossible loss. It's all moss and I'm liking the odds. Fondue in the morning, forming mycological bonds. Flick the cap, yo, the road is highly involved. Flip a coin, diary fall. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Trying to figure out the max amount of DNA stacked in non-toxic just to get a better place. Smacking on the hostage like this shit is play for keeps. Clowns, white knight, and all these Maybellines. They call it implausible when model after model keeps on ripping off the coat and going full throttle. Beats tearing apart your community. All these low-hanging fruits bearing zero liquidity. Got a planet in reach, coming standard to each. I'm on the back 10 stargazing after the siege. Commanding all the management to grab a few seats, and then we'll round up the beasts and send a messenger east. Y'all better sign a release when I'm bumping these beats. Hands up if I got motherfuckers drumming the streets. Yo, we got a few dubs, we got a couple defeats, and if you're coming for the king, you better have some of each. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the verbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape him under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play ring around the rosy while the thunder is served.
Channel Spaces.